Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on Daf Mem Tes. In the middle of the Omid, you will notice a Mishnah, 23 lines from the top of the page. Before we read the actual text, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei topic heading, Ho'av Eino Chayov B'mezoinois Bonov. This is a point that we mentioned in our previous shiur, that a father, by letter of the law, and I emphasize letter of the law, is not obligated to feed his children. The Mishnah. Ho'av eino chayov b'mezoinois bitoi. A father, when he's alive, is not obligated to support his daughter. Ze medrash dorash Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria lifnei chachomim b'kerem b'yavne. The following is a lecture, a teaching that Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria spoke or taught the chachomim. Lecture to the Chachomim on the day that he, Rebbe Elazar, was appointed as the head of the Jewish people, as the Nasi in Yavne, in the Yeshiva of Yavne. Kerem is a vineyard. It's described as a vineyard because in the Yeshiva the students sat in rows, row after row, like you find in a Kerem, a vineyard. And what did Rebbe Elazar teach? Abonim Yirshu Vabonos Yazunu. Sons inherit, daughters are supported. Yozunu from the word mozon, food, and we'll say food support in the sense of being fed. Ma habonim einon yorshin elo lachar misesav. Just like when you deal with inheritance, the inheritance of the sons takes place only after the father died. Av habonos ein nizonos elo liachar misas avihen. So to the daughters do not draw from their father's property for their support unless the father died. The Gemara continues, B'mezonos bito hu de'eno chayav. The Mishnah stated what it did, leaving room to infer certain points. And the Gemara will then draw the inferences and then try to find who is the author of our Mishnah. So in the meantime, our Mishnah had stated that a father is not obligated to support his daughter. Ha b'mezonos b'no chayav. That would leave room to think that for the mezonos, the support of his son, he is bound. Bito nami chovahu deleka ha mitzvaika. With regard to the daughter, there isn't an obligation, but there is a mitzvah. There's in halacha you find from time to time different gradations. You have something that's absolutely obligatory. There are things that are not obligatory, but if you do so, you are said to be fulfilling the will of halacha, the will of Hashem. A mitzvah, the fulfillment of a precept, of a commandment. I hesitate to use the word commandment because the word command indicates something that one is obligated in doing, and as one is required. And here we're making a distinction between the fulfillment of a precept as opposed to something that one is absolutely obligated in fulfilling. So we have what's taught in the Mishnah with its accompanying inferences. So just to review, with regard to the mizonos of a son, one would be obligated to do that. And with regard to a daughter, true, there's no letter of the law obligation, but there is a mitzvah in supporting one's daughter. Well, all that having been said, the Gemara asks a long question. Moni Masnisen, who is the author of the Mishnah? Now, that's a fairly short question, but the question is being asked in light of the fact that we have three Tanaic opinions that deal with this topic, and our Mishnah, as it's stated with its accompanying inferences, doesn't match any one of them. Now, structurally, let us point out that after the long question is raised, the Gemara goes on to answer, an interesting answer, a threefold answer, meaning each one of the names cited as not being possible authors of the Mishnah, each one turns out to be, in fact, a possible author of the Mishnah. So that, if you will, you can refer to all of this as one long response, a long answer. Now we go to the Gemara text. When asking the question, Moni Masnisen, the Gemara goes on to say, Lo Rabbi Meir, Velo Rabbi Yehuda, Velo Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It doesn't seem to conform to any of these opinions. And each one of these opinions will be featured in a Tanaic source, as you can see. The Sanya, Mitzvah Lozun Es HaBonois. There is a mitzvah in supporting one's daughters, Kal V'chomer Lebonim De'aski B'Torah, Divrei Rabbi Meir. And all the more so there is a mitzvah in supporting one's sons as they study Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the commandment of the study of Torah, is a commandment that applies to the male gender. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mitzvah Lozun Es HaBonim. There is a mitzvah in supporting one's sons. V'kal v'chomer labonos mishum zilusan. All the more so, there is a mitzvah in supporting one's daughters, because otherwise they would be subject to degradation, zilusa, literally cheapening for a young girl, and that's what we're talking about here, young children, to go out to beg for food is belittling. And when it comes to our concern over the honor and dignity of our children, we have even greater concern when it comes to the dignity of our female children. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Chovo Lozun Es Habonos Liachar Misas Avihen. There is an obligation to sustain one's daughters after the death of their father. Avol b'chayavien elu ve'elu einon nizonim. But when their father is alive, daughters and sons are not supported. Moni Masnisen. Who is the author of our Mishnah? E Rebbe Meir Ha'omar Bonim Mitzvah. If you were to think that our Mishnah is Rebbe Meir, but Rebbe Meir said the support of sons is a mitzvah, he didn't say that it's obligatory, and yet when we drew the inferences from our Mishnah, it turned out that Mizonos Beno is Chayav. So, doesn't match Rebbe Meir. E Rebbe Yehuda Ha'omar Bonim Nami Mitzvah. As far as Rebbe Yehuda was concerned, he said that Bonim, as well as daughters, are a mitzvah, not something obligated. So that it's true that regarding the support of a daughter, our Mishnah agrees there is a mitzvah, but Rebbe Yehuda said that Bonim as well there is a mitzvah, but the way we inferred from our Mishnah, Bonim would be a chova, an obligation. So it doesn't match Rebbe Yehuda either. E Rebbe Yochanan ben Broika, afilu mitzvah nami leka. As far as Rebbe Yochanan ben Broika is concerned, there isn't even a mitzvah, not with regard to sons nor daughters. And our Mishnah indicated that there is a mitzvah element. So, at this point, you can see we don't seem to have an author for our Mishnah. The Gemara responds, though, And as we said, basically it's a long answer, three-part answer. Iboy Yisemo Rabbi Meir, Iboy Yisemo Rabbi Huda, Iboy Yisemo Rabbi Yochanan Broka. And we go through in a very systematic fashion, and you can see on the side we have a mivneh, a structural note where a trapezoid or volcano shape appears, highlighting the expression Hochi Komar, Gimel Efshorios, Leman Tana de Masnisen. We have three possibilities as to whom we can ascribe authorship of the Mishnah. Ve'ech kol echod yovin Mishnah Sayana, how each one will understand our Mishnah. So we now turn back to the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Iboy Yaseimo Rabbi Meir, Vahochi Komar. Our Mishnah is essentially saying as follows. Ho'av eino chayov b'mezonos bito. A father is not obligated to support his daughter. V'uadin livno. And likewise, he is not chayov in supporting his son. Now this is again the understanding of our Mishnah, and you'll notice it's not like we learned initially through the inference approach. Through the inference approach, we suggested that the Beno is Chayev. Here we're saying, not so. One is not Chayev b'mezonos bito, nor for b'mezonos Beno. Now, now we infer, ha mitzvah b'bito ika. However, there is a mitzvah in supporting the daughter. Not obligation, but yes, mitzvah. Kal v'chomer lebonim. And all the more so to support, there's a mitzvah in supporting one's sons. So when you look back at the original Rebbe Meir in the Brisa, that's what he said. He said, there's a mitzvah in the support of both sons and daughters. And all the more so, that a mitzvah in supporting the daughters, and all the more so a mitzvah in supporting the sons. Now, if you approach our Mishnah like this, without the inferences, then you have to ask yourself the question, why did the Mishnah feature specifically one gender when the halacha applies equally to both? V'hai dikotoni bito. The fact that our Mishnah featured bito, ho komashmalon. The following is what the Mishnah wanted to communicate. De'afilu bito, that even with regard to one's daughter, who is a lighter level concern, if you will. Sometimes we have to offer interpretations that might jar the ears of those sensitive to what they call political correctness or what have you. But you have to analyze things in a deep fashion and not be overly sensitive to superficial modern considerations. So here we're going to tell you that even a daughter who has this lesser sense of urgency about her support because she is not osek b'Torah, even the daughter, chovahu d'leka ha mitzvah ika, but there is a mitzvah. Don't treat the daughter so lightly as to think that there isn't even a mitzvah. So the Mishnah went out of its way to teach that there is a mitzvah. True, there's no chova, but there is a mitzvah even with regard to one's daughters. And as Rabbi Meir said, and all the more so with regard to one's sons because they are engaged in Torah study. V'iboy yaseimo Rabbi Yehuda v'hochi ko'omar. Ho'av eino chayov b'mezonos bito. For kol shekein livno, a father is not obligated to support his daughter. And if he's not obligated for a daughter, he's certainly not obligated for a son. Because according to this approach, the daughter, we'll say, is a greater concern of higher priority. And yet, the Mishnah tells us that a father is not obligated in supporting the daughter, and all the more so he's not going to be obligated in supporting the son. Ha mitzvah bivno ika. But there is a mitzvah in supporting one son. V'kal v'chomer lebonos. And all the more so there's a mitzvah fulfillment in supporting the daughters. V'ha dikotoni bito. And once again, if as we're presenting the Mishnah through the eyes of Rabbi Yehuda thusly, why then did the Mishnah feature only one gender, namely the daughter? What the Mishnah was trying to emphasize is the afilu bito, even the daughter, where there's this great concern of preservation of dignity, the chashash zilusa, choiva leka. There isn't a letter of the law obligation. V'boy same Rabbi Yochanan Broka, a third approach. V'ochi komar, and let us understand the Mishnah thusly. Eino chayov b'mezonos bito, v'adin livno, a father is not obligated to support his daughter, and likewise he's not obligated to support his son. V'adin diafilu mitzvah namileka, and it goes, and along with that, not only is there no obligation, there isn't even a mitzvah. V'aydi debonois li'achar misas avien chova, and as far as the focus on the daughters, we say that since by the daughters, after the father's death, it will shoots up to being an actual obligation that they are to be supported. So, Tona Nami, the Mishnah also in the earlier part used the expression Eino Chayov, but not to lead you on to think that Eino Chayov leaves room to infer that there is a mitzvah. Why did the Mishnah say Eino Chayov? Not to infer no chiyuv, but there is a mitzvah, but Eino Chayov in contrast with the case of Achar Misa, when there is a chova, when he is chayev. So once again, what do we see? The theme throughout these three answers is that though the Mishnah featured either a specific gender, bito, or it featured a specific comment of eino chayev, it's not, these phrases were not there for making inferences, each one with regard to its respective different author. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice a section of Gemara is quite marked up. A lot of markings, a lot of geometric forms, shapes, and series markings. If you have available Daf Nun Amen Aleph as well, it's worth having the ability to take a bird's eye view of this sugya ahead of time. So you'll notice quite a few different shapes. Let's glance at the side of our Gemara. We have a Mivneh, and you see a crown shape featured. This highlights the name Rab Ilah. And right after that, you see a triangle. Let's first feature the triangle. The triangles that you see are five Takonis Usha. Shilfiu Kanba Gemara. Usha was the seat of the Sanhedrin, the high court occupied after its exile from the Beis Hamikdash, etc. It was in Usha, so there Usha was a place of Talmudic scholarship, a legal center, and as such there were various takonos, various rabbinic enactments that originated there. The question will be dealt with in the Gemara whether or not those rabbinic enactments of Usha are binding. Were they accepted? That is something that we have to discuss later. But in the meantime, we'll refer to them as Takonos Usha. So first get yourself a certain bird's eye view of the Gemara, and you scan down, use the numbering system that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Here on this Amud you see 1 and 2. If you scan up to Daf Nun Amud Aleph, you can see 3, 4, and 5, covering most of the Amud. The first three of these, if you count, use your counting, your numbers, you'll see the first three are introduced by Rab Ilah. So that we, therefore, since you have this series aspect, and in addition to the series aspect, the Gemara is going to make a comment later with regard to these three. So you'll see that when our note on the side where the crown shape appears, Rav Ilo Mevi Gimel Takonis Usha Rishonis Shafia Basugya. Rav Ilo will be responsible for bringing the first three. Now, I want to say something. I want to make a note of something that the Gemara will point out later on, but all this has to do with structure. Notice the first crown shape. It says Omer of Ilah, and there are more names that follow. If you count Rav Ilo as the first, Aleph, Reish Lakish Beis, Mishum Rav Yudah Bar Chanina is Gimel. So the first Takonas Usha presented our Gemara is presented by using three names, namely Rav Ilo quotes Reish Lakish, who quoted Rav Yudah Bar Chanina. The second triangle is introduced by, you see, Rav Ilo, followed by Reish Lakish. No more names, though. It's two names, then, that introduce the second Takona. The third Takona Susha, notice at the top of Daf Nun, third line from the top, you see the crown. And all you have there is Rav Ilo quoting Takonas Usha, and it says in Usha they enacted whatever they did. And before you get to triangle number four, you can see that on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, about a quarter of the way down from the top. Notice the line just above the fourth triangle. It says V'simonech. In order to remember something about these three Takonas, the simon for them is Ketanim Kosu Bizvu. Those are three key words for appreciating the three Takonas that we just had. Now, if you go above that, two more lines above that, Omer of Sini Bar Ashi, Ushmuos Halolu, these teachings of Rab Ilo, who presents the Takonas Usha, Mismaatois Vaholchos. As they continue, they get reduced as they continue. What does he mean, they get reduced? So it's exactly what we were referring to before. The first Takona mentioned, there were three names introducing it. The second, only two names. The third, Rav Ilo by himself. So with that, you appreciate what Rav Simi Bar Ashi is saying. Ushmuos halolu mismatos, from the word ma'at, mismatos vochos. They get reduced as you go on. And v'simonech, that's the three words there, are three words, they're key words, and with them, if you, after having studied what the three Takonas Usha are, you will appreciate that memory device. Now, the Gemara itself. After having mapped things out, we go into the Gemara text. We're focusing right now on the first crown shape that you see. Omer of Ilah, Omer Reish Lakish, Mishum Rav Yudah Bar Chanina, Be'usha Hiskinu. In the city of Usha, they enacted She Odom Zon Es Bonov V'es Benoisov Kishehen Ketanim. It was a rabbinic enactment that a father must support his children when they are minors, when they're ketanim. Rashi says, Ad Shioviu Cyrus, until they produce pubic hairs. So that up till now, was prior to Usha, no obligation. We, of course, debated, is there a mitzvah or not? That was a machlokas tanoim, the way the Gemara finally explained things. And of course, we're talking right now about the father during his lifetime. So during his lifetime, time went on, in Usha there was an enactment that a father is obligated to support them. Ibayaloho. Now we have a new marking. The diamond is featured on the side of the Gemara, and this is a birur im hilchus kavosei. We're going to be analyzing, is the halacha like that? We didn't note, but it's never too late. Under the Nosei heading on the side, we have Nosei number 1 with a triangle featured. And we've written on the side, Takonas Usha, She Odom Zon Es Bonov Haktanim. The Takonas Usha, the enactment in Usha, is that a father must support his minor children. HaGemara Masika, the Gemara will conclude, the less Hilchus HaKetakonazu, the Gemara will conclude the halacha is not like this. The ain kaifin oisoi lazunam elarak mevakshim mimenu. We can't force him to support them, but we request of him to support them. a dashed underline will appear. That's Hadgoshezu Litzurch Simin Shinizkar Begemar Daf Nun Amar Aleph. This will have value for what we will study on Daf Nun Amar Aleph. The double underline that will appear shortly in the Gemara. Sidra shel mikrim, a series of incidents, shel anoshim shelo rotzu lozun es b'neihem haktanim, a series of incidents of people that did not want to support their minor children. And as we said before, the diamond is here to evaluate whether or not we rule like Usha, the enactment there, or not. So now the Gemara. Is the halacha like him or not? Toshma, let us answer that, and we'll tell you ahead of time that the halacha is not like them from the following, we'll say the following incidents. There's a Rashi on the second narrow line, Toshma, the less hilchus kavasei. The halach is not like the Usha enactment, Elamemar Rinale. Rather, we turn to the father, we request of him, maybe he'll support them, Avol Mekaf Lo Kaifina, but we won't force him. According to the Takonas Usha, apparently, the Takona was that the father is obligated, and along with obligation comes the possibility of our forcing him. But the Gemara is going to conclude not so, that there is no forcing. The Gemara continues now in the text, Toshma, Kihavu Osu Lekamei Rav Yehuda, when a case of a father that wasn't supporting his children came to Rav Yehuda, Omar Lehu, Rav Yehuda would tell fathers like that, Yarud Yoldo V'abnei Maso Shadya. Yarud is a type of wild animal, Rashi calls a tanin, type of creature, bears children, and then casts the children on the community for their support. Of course, it's quite derogatory for a father to hear that here you're like a wild animal, bears children, and then throws them out onto the public to be supported. Continuing in the Gemara, ki hava osu lekamei de Rav Chisda, when cases like this would come to Rav Chisda, Amar Lehu, he would say, kafu le asita betzibura, velekum velema. Kafu is invert, and asita is a vessel, it's a type of, when you want to crush, let's say, different spices, use a mortar and a pestle. So it's the mortar is the, we'll say, the bowl. So invert an asita, invert this vessel, and then stand on it with the bottom serving as a platform. Stand on it, v'leikum v'leimo, and get up on it and say, urva boy bone, v'hu gavra lo boy bone. The urva, type of bird, it's a black bird, maybe it's often translated as a raven. It's the raven or the urva. Cares for its children, and this guy doesn't care for his kids. So that he's basically saying, you know, you're a father. You don't want to support your kids. You're worse than these birds. The Gemara introduces, you can see with our markings, we have a bracketed section. Following the brackets, you have another story like that of a father that doesn't want to support his kids, and how Rava deals with it. But in the brackets, is a technical question is raised as concerning the description of the birds, the urva, as being a bird that supports its kids. So now we, having said that, learn the section in the brackets. The urva boy bunny, is that so that that the orev cares for its kids? Vaksiv. The pasuk says livnei orev asher yikro. The pasuk refers to the offspring of the orev that beckon, that plead for support, indicating that the parent birds don't support them. lo kashya. There isn't any true, let's say, contradiction here. Ha bechivri, ha beuchmi. Chivri means light-colored or white. When they're freshly hatched, they're white. They're light in color, and the orev, which is a black bird, so it doesn't recognize the offspring. So it's at that point that the pasuk says, "If they orev asher yikro," that they beckon for support for sustenance. However, beuchmi, when they get black, when they age a little bit, so then the feathers turn black. And the parent birds take care of them. The Gemara continues, Ki have osi l'kame derava, when a parent that doesn't want a father doesn't want to support his kids comes in the presence of Rava or Marlei, Rava would say to the father, Nicholach de mitzini bonecha mitzdoka. Would you prefer? Would you like charity funds to be used to support your children? The lo amoron, the Gemara points out that everything we've said till now, namely that we don't force parents, we plead with them, we might insult them, but we don't force them. This whole idea of not forcing, ella de lo omid, assuming that the parent is not a person of wealth. Rashi says, Eino Oshir, Aval Omid. If he's a wealthy individual, Kafinon Le Al Korche. We force him against his will. We're not going to view the support of children any less than we would standard charity. And when it comes to standard charity, even if you're not dealing with one's children, you're dealing with total strangers, but strangers in need of assistance, when dealing with the wealthy, they are forced to contribute to the charitable funds. Kiha de Rava kafye de Rav Noson bar Ami. Let us make the assumption that Rav Noson bar Ami was a man of means. Rava forced him regarding tzedakah payment, the apik mine, and withdrew from him and drew out of him dalid mea zuzi l'tzedakah, 400 zuz for tzedakah purposes. Could very well be that Rav Noson bar Ami had paid tzedakah but paid less than he could afford, and he could afford more, and because of that, because of his wealth, Rava was able to force him to come up with this amount. Omer Vila, Omer Shlokish, Usha Hiskinu. Another Takonas Usha. There was an enactment made in Usha. On the side of the Gemara, we introduce this with a topic heading Nosei. You see a triangle number 2 is featured. Takonas Usha, an enactment in Usha. The Mi Shekosav Kol Nechosav Levonav. A father who assigned, who rode over all of his property to his children. Vafilu me'achshav, even if he wrote them over, assigned his property to them from right now. Hu v'ishto nizonin mehem. That man, he and his wife, will continue to draw support from those properties. So even though when you look at things like very superficially, he gave away all his properties. He gave them to his children. It's not his anymore. Yet in Usha they enacted that someone who does that, he has a right to continue to draw his own support from those properties. The Gemara. Omar Reb Ilo Omar Reish Lokish. Usha Hiskinu, they established in Usha Akosiv Kol Nechosiv Levonav, one who assigns all of his properties to his sons. Hu v'ishto nizonim mehem. The man, the father, and his wife can support themselves from those properties, even if he had assigned ownership of the properties to his son from right now. Now, the Gemara raises a question. You'll notice it's a long question. Maskiflo Rebbe Zeira v'teimor Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Rabbi Zeira, some versions have Rabbi Shmuel, raising the question, Gedola Mizu Amru. this expression, Gedola Mizu Amru, Rashi says, looking at Rashi together halfway down the Rashi commentary, Gedola Mizu Amru, Begedola Mizu Amru, Kagon Almono Bas, in a say a, in a bigger way, in a more extreme way, we teach an example of a widow and a daughter. And the nisei sabas, and the daughter gets married. Shafapi shehu meis vanachosim nishtabdu lelokech derabbanan. Even though the father died and the properties become bound to the husband, to his son-in-law, to the deceased son-in-law, the husband of his daughter, he's called a lokeach derabbanan. He has a status of a purchaser on a rabbinic level, kegon baal benichse ishto, as is the case with regard to a husband vis-a-vis his wife's properties, he's considered like a purchaser. V'kaimalon, and we have a rule: ein motzin l'mazonu isha minuchosim ishubadim. We do not. If a man sells his properties in a regular market sale, he sells his properties. The wife of the seller cannot go to these nechosim shubadim, property that is bound to others, in order to draw her mizonos. Afilu hachi, Rashi continues, afilu hachi, hecha deleka lemechash letikun ha'olam, even in cases when, or even so, in cases when we don't have to concern ourselves with, we'll say, the thwarting of economic activity, of commercial success, of even without market considerations, kagon kihai lokeach shelohotzimos, like this kind of purchaser, a husband vis-a-vis his wife's properties. He didn't spend money on those properties. All the more so where you have people that purchase properties, they spent money on it. Shavu rabbonon kiyoresh, the rabbonon view him, the husband of the deceased daughter, the son-in-law, as an inheritor, as an heir. Fi amri, and as such, we say tazunu almana minichse baila. The almana has a right to draw her support from her husband's, he's the deceased, from that which was his properties. So now we see. In Rashi, of course, we haven't learned through the Gemara yet, but we see how far we go, and we'll say, even like bending the law, where you have a person classified as a lokeach, as a purchaser, and when it comes to the support of the widow, even though in standard lekuchos we wouldn't allow her to draw her sustenance from them, because that would upset economic activity. Why would people buy and sell property when all of a sudden some lady can come out claiming that she has rights to some of the value for her daily sustenance? That would upset economic activity. But when you don't have that consideration, when you're dealing with the husband of of one's daughter, this one's son-in-law, and the deceased left an almona, she is able to draw support from those properties. So now, let's go back to the Gemara. We just learned that in Usha, they made a takona that a man and his wife, if he assigns, if he gives away all of his properties, he is still entitled to derive his own support from those properties, he along with his wife. If that's the case, we're going to end up asking, well, we have a long question, we're going to end up asking, we know that the almona, in the case we read in Rashi, that even she is supported. So if you have a man that's dead and his widow is being supported from those properties that were transferred to his daughter and son-in-law, all the more so it would be obvious that a man who's alive with his own wife, they certainly will be able to continue to draw support from his own properties. And being that that's the case, what do you need a takonos usha for? So now the Gemara in the text with the long question, after having said that in Tan Usha they made a takana that a man and assigns all his properties to his child, he continues to draw his daily support from those properties. The Gemara is going to be asking, as we said, do you really need a takana for that? Is it not obvious? Maskif lo Rabbi Zeh, Ravi Tamer of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Gedoy lo Mizu Amru, Almanosoi Nizoinis Minachosav. We've said, even we've gone even further than what you claim to be the takona susha, that an almona, a widow, is to receive her support from her husband's, his deceased husband's properties. So if that be the case, who v'ishto mibaya, when the man himself is still alive, together with his wife, do I need to tell you? Do I need to make a special takona? It's so obvious. It's obvious from the halacha that an almona, she's a widow, the husband is dead, and she alone, she's able to draw support from her deceased husband's properties, all the more so when the guy's alive. And here now the Gemara gives you all the background. The Shalach Rovin Bigusei. Rovin sent in a letter, in a message, Mishemes Viniach Almona Obas. A man who dies and he leaves a widow and a daughter. Almanoso nizoinis minichosov. If you have certainly a man who leaves a very limited estate, so we will say that the almona will draw support from his estate. Nisei sabas, when the daughter gets married, almanoso. Now we should point out that a person who died leaving an almona bas, the bas, the daughter, she's considered the heiress, she's the owner of the properties. But even so, the widow, she has a right, a ksuba right, to draw her sustenance from her deceased husband's estate. When the daughter gets married, now there's a son-in-law in the picture, and he's considered, as we saw in Rashi before, he's considered like a purchaser. Nevertheless, amanosai nizoinis minichosav. The widow derives her support from those properties, even though in the case of a standard seller of properties, we don't support women or almanas from sold properties. That's what we saw before in the Rashi, that there's no mezoinis ein mutzin lemozin isha minachosim mishubadim. But in this case, the almana will continue to draw support from the deceased husband's properties, even though there's also a daughter of the deceased with a son-in-law. Mesa habas, if the daughter dies, but the almona is still alive, and there's a son-in-law that survives. Omar Rav Yehuda ben Achosel Shereb Yosi Bar Hanina. So Rav Yehuda, the nephew of Rav Yosi, Al Yodi Hoya Maisa, a case like that came my way, the Omru, and it was ruled Almanoso Nizoinus Minachosov. The almona continues to draw support from that estate. The estate that was her, used to belong to her deceased husband, it was inherited by the daughter and then subsequently taken over, inherited by the son-in-law. But that almona continues to draw support from that property. Who v'ishto mibaya? Do I need to be told? Do I need a special takona that where the original owner of the property is still alive, that he and his wife continue drawing support from that? It's obvious. What do you need a special takona for? Mahu detema. So I might have thought, hasam, in the case where the husband died and you have just an almona, hasam hu, deleko de torach. She's alone. She's an almona. There's no one to care for her. Abul hacha, where the husband, where the owner of the property is still alive, he is together with his wife. In this case, where he's still alive, nitrach lididei ulidida. Well, he gave over all his properties to his son. Let him trouble himself, go seek some new employment, seek some type of new investment, and support himself and his wife. Komash Malon, the Takana Susha says, no, we don't demand that of him. True, he assigned all his properties to his son from immediately, but he doesn't thereby disconnect himself vis-a-vis daily support from those properties. The diamond, as you can see, is again similar to above. We're asking, do we rule like that? Do we rule that a kesef nechasov Lebonov, he and his wife continue to draw support? Ibayelo hilchaso kavosei or less hilchaso kavosei. Is the aloha like Rev Ilah or not? Toshma, let's come and bring a proof from the following. Let's try to answer from the following. The Rabbi Chanina of Rabbi Yonis and Avu Kaimi, these two rabbis were standing, and also Hahu Gavro, a man came along, Gochin Venashke, the Rabbi Yonison Akareib. Gochin, he bent over and kissed Rabbi Yonison's feet. Omar Le, Rav Chanina, my high, Rav Chanina asked, what's going on over here? Omar Le, so Rabbi Yonison gives him the background. Koisev Nechosev Levonavu. Here's a guy that had written over all of his property to his son. The Asitinhu Lizone. Rashi at the top line of, we're at the top of Daf Nun Amad Aleph. So Rashi at the top line says, Vasitinu, Kofisi Oysam Bechozka. I forcefully, caused the son, the receiver of the property, to support his parents. Umibnesha Torachti Olav Likoneso Lifnimishu Sadin. And because I expended efforts beyond the letter of the law, therefore, Chabiveni, he feels endeared to me. He endears himself to me. So what have we described here? We've described a situation where Rav Yonason intervened on behalf of the father, who had assigned all his properties to his son, and went out of his way beyond the letter of the law. In other words, what does the letter of the law suggest? That the son doesn't have to support his father. Look, he received it all as a gift from his father. And we have a klal that Rashi made reference to earlier, matona kemecher, a gift is like a purchase. So he's a stranger. He's out of the picture. He's purchased some land. Some guy's going to come and say, hey, you owe me support from the land you just bought. What kind of business is that? So that's the letter of the law, that the receiver of a property where a father wrote over all his property to his son, the son is considered like a total outsider. And letter of the law, he doesn't have to support the father. Rabbi Yonason went out of his way, though, beyond the letter of the law, and with a great deal of force and influence or whatever, he caused the son to support this man. What does that show you about our accepting the Takana Zusha? According to the Takana Zusha, letter of the law stated that the son has to provide support to the father that had given over all his properties. You wouldn't need Rav Yonason to, or Rav Yonason's efforts wouldn't have represented his going out of the way whatsoever. If you're provided with things that are due to you by letter of the law, you don't have to then show a exceptional gratitude towards someone like that. Now the Gemara. if you say very well that we don't rule like the Takon HaSusha, that it's not the din. Takon HaSusha said that the son has to support, and we're telling you that that is not the way we actually rule. Mishum hachi asainu. Therefore, Rabbi Yonason had to go out of his way with the influence and force and whatever he did. That's then the story is understandable. Well, I amris dina. But if you say that all that Rabbi Yonason was doing was imposing the basic law on this guy that he has to support his father from the properties that he received from him, asinu boy, you have to have some kind of exceptional going out of the way. Tosfos points out that this word asitinu has to do with the words, verbal efforts, not the court-imposed force, not physical or other kinds of imposed force, other than, we'll say, words, influence, convincing. So Rashi, at the second line from the top, V'i dina hu, if the Takon HaSusha represented the letter of the law for us, represented what we do, ein kan gemilas toiva la'achzik lo toiva, shal korcho yishpon emes, there isn't then any behavior on Rav Yonason's part that should arouse special affection toward him by this man. If it's the letter of the law and Rav Yonason as a leader was only carrying out what's called the letter of the law, so that's what's expected. It's not grounds for showing exceptional affinity, which in fact took place. So the fact that in this story you saw this father being so indebted to Rabbi Yonason, it must be that Rabbi Yonason did something that's not expected by letter of the law. According to the Takon HaSusha, it was letter of the law that the father should be supported. So you see that we don't accept the Takon HaSusha. Omar Rav Ila, number 3. Be'usha hiskinu ha-mevazveis al-yevazveis yoysu mechemish. Mevazveis has to do with expenditures, and Rashi says la'aniyim, one who is giving charity to the needy, he should not give more than one-fifth of his holdings, of his properties. The Rashi says, because if you end up giving more than that, you'll end up endangering yourself financially and becoming needy. So you're not allowed to make yourself needy by being gracious to those that are already needy. Tosfos adds an important piece of information. The second Tosfos on the page, Al Yevazeis Yosu Mechemish, Meforish B'Yushalmi. The Yushalmi explains Shepam Rishona, the first time a person is making a charitable donation, Yochol Levazeis Chemish. He can take 20%, one fifth of all of his property, and give it to charity. Omikan V'Elich, then next year, and you know, from that point on, B'chol shana v'shana, each year, yitein choymesh harevach. He gives a fifth of the profits that he experienced that year. The Gemara continues. Tanya nami hochi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. Hamevazes al yevazes yosem mechoymesh. Shema yitzorach lebrios. One should not spend more than a fifth, because by doing so, you're then going to make yourself dependent on the community. Umaisev echot shebikesh levazes yosem mechoymesh. There was an incident. You had someone that wanted to spend more than a fifth. Lo iniach lo chavero, and the individual was prevented by his friend. Umanu, and who was that? Rabbi Yeshevov. That was Rabbi Yeshevov, who did the, we'll call the prevention. The Amri Law, Rabbi Yeshevov. Another version is this: Rabbi Yeshevov wanted to make the expenditure, velo inichol chavero, and Rabbi Yeshevov's chaver didn't allow him. Umanu, and who was that? Rabbi Akiva. Omer Rav Nachman, vitemo Rav Acha bar Yankiv. My kra. What is the pasuk for this? The pasuk says, Yankiv Avinu announces, V'chol asher titein li, and everything that you give unto me, aser a'asrenu loch. Aser means a tenth. So we'll assume that two tenths, that's a fifth. So that he announces that he will give a fifth away, he'll give a fifth to Tztaka. The Gemara asks, from aser a'asrenu, if you analyze things mathematically, you'll find that it's not a chomesh. V'halo domi isura basra li'isura kama. The second tenth is not the same as the first tenth, so that you don't have an actual 20%. If, let us say, you start with 100, and you take off a tenth of that, so 10. Say $100, you take off a tenth, $10 charity. How much is left? $90. Take off a tenth of that, that's $9. 10 and 9, that's $19 from an original 100. Now, the $19 is not quite 20%. 20% would be $20. So when Yaakov Avinu says Aser Asrenu, how can that be the source for a chomesh, for a fifth? Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi explains, what was Yaakov Avinu saying? Asrenu lebasro ki kama. The second tenth that I take off will be the same as the first tenth. Omar Rav Simi Bar Ashi. Ushmuel's halalu, these teachings of Rav Ilah in presenting the Takonas Usha mismatois v'holchos, they become less and less. The number of Amoroyim that are cited becomes fewer and fewer. In the first, we saw three names. In the second, two names, and the third, Rav Ilah himself, just one name. V'simonech, in order to remember as a memory device, a mnemonic for the three Takonas that we've learned. Remember the following: Ketanim, Kosfu, Ubizvizu. Literally, it would mean that the little ones wrote out and spent. But for our purposes, what do you see? Ketanim. This was the halacha concerning the expectation of a father to support his children. Kosfu was the case of a person assigning all of his property to his son, and Bizvizu is the halacha of spending no more than a fifth of your holdings for charity. As you can see, the series of Takana Susha continue, but Mirtz Hashem will continue with that in our next year. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.